Together they went to the communicating door. Rudy nodded, and in a moment they'd opened it and slipped through, with Detchkar behind them. There was a second in which the murmur of voices sounded louder, and then the door closed, and I was left, stark, in a royal dressing room in a German mansion, all alone and palpitating. For a moment there wasn't a sound, and then something tumbled next door. Minutes passed, a door was shut somewhere, there was a muttering of voices in the corridor that sent me scampering behind the curtains, and then silence. Several minutes passed, and my teeth began to chatter with cold and apprehension. At last I peeped out to see if there wasn't a gown or something to wrap up in. There was plenty of furniture in the room, the main article being an enormous decorated commode. It struck me as my usual luck that whereas most royal successions lead to a throne, mine had got me nothing so far but a thunderbox. But devil a rag of clothing beyond a couple of towels. So I wrapped up in the curtain as well as I could and waited fearfully. Then the door opened and Deshkard's voice said softly, "Rosinsi." I poked my head out. He was carrying a big silk dressing gown, thank God, and I grabbed at it, shuddering. "His Highness has left the house," says he. "Everything is in train. Is all well with you? How splendid, except that I'm almost frozen to death. Isn't there a fire, in God's name? There's a stove in the bedroom," says he, and ushered me through to a splendid apartment, thickly carpeted, with a huge four-poster bed, richly curtained, and a fine stove with its doors thrown wide to warm the room. While I thawed out, Detchard stood with his grey head cocked, considering me and toying with his seals. "It is truly amazing," says he at last. "I did not believe it, but you are the same man. Wonderful! Well, I hope the other one's warmer than I am. Haven't you any brandy?" He poured me a glass very carefully and watched me gulp it down. "You are nervous," says he, "naturally. However, you will have the night to accustom yourself to the novelty of your situation. His Highness retired early with a slight headache, no doubt brought on by the fatigue of his journey, so you will be undisturbed. Your host, Count von Tarlenheim, has given particular instructions. You will meet him briefly tomorrow, by the way, before we set out for the border. An amiable dotard. His Highness, or I should say your Highness, has been quite formal with him so far, so there will be no questions asked if you are no more forthcoming tomorrow than politeness demands." "Thank God for that," says I. I wanted time to play myself in, so to speak, and the thought of chattering to a breakfast table was out of court altogether. "The only people who have been close to you on the journey, apart from myself, are Dr. Ostret, your physician, and young Josef, your valet. He has been in your service only a day, your old valet, Einar, having become indisposed shortly after we set out."
"Convenient," says I. "Will he live?"
"Of course. You are much concerned about him,"